Hey, you guys, what's going on?
Yeah,
watching Pookie play with toys down there on the floor,
throwing those little fucking stuffed animals in her mouth. Yeah, we saw The Mummy.
See, finally, I got his bitch ass to watch it.
Dermot sent Jenny the money to buy it, and Jenny was able for like $15 to get all three movies in a.
Yeah, I got them like in one box set. Yeah, he sent me an Amazon gift card, so thank you very much, Dermot.
Oh yeah, yeah, saw the first one and it was good, real good. I liked the movie.
I thought you might.
Yeah, I want to see the other ones. It's kind of like, it's a tentpole movie, action adventure movie. Kind of like a cross between Indiana Jones. It's very much like Indiana Jones. And maybe like, what was the one that had The Rock in it? Where they go to the fucking special, like...
Jumanji?
Jumanji. Kind of like Jumanji.
It's along those lines, yeah.
The tone is like Jumanji. Visually, it looks like Indiana Jones.
When they were making this movie, the director said he wanted to make it like Raiders of the Lost Ark meets Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah, it did that.
Yeah, kinda. That's kind of what he was going for.
I was thinking more like Jason the Argonauts. Those movies are kind of like slow and epic, like classic movies. This is kind of fast-paced with good-natured humor and a bunch of action. I'd say more like Jumanji. But he said that before Jumanji was around. I don't think Jumanji was
around. Well, Jumanji is the one with The Rock in it was a remake of a movie from the 80s that had Robin Williams in it. That so was like a board game.
Yeah, so it's like The Rock remake of Jumanji, which I liked that one too. I liked it.
Yeah, I did as well. I haven't seen the one from the 80s for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think I ever saw it. But The Rock one I liked. And I think we saw the second one, wasn't it?
Yeah, we saw the second one.
The second one. I haven't seen the first Jumanji. With The Rock in it. I saw the second one.
Yeah.
It was good. So far, man, we haven't seen the other two yet, but this one was good. Real good. Had the dude that played fucking Batiatis from
I had forgot he was in this.
Yeah, from Spartacus.
John Hanna, that character's actor's name is, I think. And, yeah, it was funny because, like, when we were watching it, because I haven't seen this movie for probably, like, 15 years or something. And then he came out, and Tom's like, oh my god, it's Batiatis from the Spartacus series. And I was like, holy shit, I totally didn't know that he was in there.
He got some epic kind of male heroic roles and epic male fucking villain roles and comedic villains and hotties, a lot of hotties in it. Fucking, it starts off early on, scantily clad Egyptian queens and all that. Yeah, it looked good, it's good. The fucking special effects were good. Sets were good. Score was good.
It's Jerry Goldsmith, that is.
Yeah.
He's the man.
I was going to say it's kind of like an epic, classic Raiders of the Lost Ark type movie with CG. The CG aged okay, but it was real good in its day.
It's 1999.
Yeah.
Some of the CG actually looks pretty good still.
Yeah.
You know, some of it, obviously you can tell it's CG, especially, like, in the close-ups of Imhotep, like, before he gets all his, like, shit back. You know, it still looks like CG, but that's okay. Like I said, like, the whole tone of the movie...
It's not realism, anyway.
...is, it's just... Fantasy. It's meant to be just, like, a fun, enjoyable adventure, and it's not taking itself all that seriously. Yeah. And I think that's a good... You don't really see a lot of... adventure movies like that anymore.
Yeah. After Raiders of the Lost Ark, there's a bunch of kind of like decent adventure knockoffs came after it. Like what was the one? Rose, fucking Romancing the Stone.
Romancing the Stone, yeah. And, I have a soft spot for that movie.
Yeah.
And there was two of those. There was Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile, was the sequel to that.
And then there was a couple of other ones that had like fucking shit. What was the one? Oh man, I can't remember. They had several knockoffs after that. This one kind of reminded me of one of those. There's something a little bit about the tone, in some ways, kind of reminded me of like Jewel of the Nile. I think it's because the story is a little, because it's kind of mostly in one place. I don't know. There was something about it. It did kind of feel like a Raiders of the Lost knockoff. But not in a bad way.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to make an homage or make a movie kind of like that, I mean, you know, that's a really good one you could pick because that's an awesome fucking movie.
Yeah.
Slasher Fred points out National Treasure. Yeah, that's a good
one, too.
I haven't seen that one, or the one with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah,
the whole treasure hunt. Yeah, I do kind of feel like I don't know. There was a lot of really good adventure movies like in the 80s, and then it seemed like there was a little bit of a revival of them in the 90s. I think the issue, and we've talked, and I know that you liked the Tom Cruise 2017 yeah. Mummy, but one of the issues that I had with that was that if you were going to go sort of in that direction, I kind of, even though there was sort of humor in that, I felt like they took, that it mostly took itself too seriously.
The one I was thinking of was Firewalker. Remember Firewalker? It was kind of like Indiana Jones. Jewel
was Chuck
Nile,
Norris in that?
Chuck Norris was in it with the
dude. That was
from,
terrible.
Yeah, with the dude from Iron Eagle and shit. That's because
was it Louis Gossett Jr.?
Yeah, Louis Jr.
That was a terrible, terrible.
Yeah,
movie.
they were taking the knock.
Although I'm sure it's hilarious.
Yeah, I remember liking it, but
I thought, but you know what though? I thought that that movie was about them. Weren't they going to hell or something?
Man, all kinds of shit happened in it. I don't remember. It was.
It's
ludicrous.
Been a long time since I've seen it.
It was a ludicrous.
I remember.
It was a ludicrous, over the top. Raiders of the Lost Ark knockoff that had Chuck Norris and that Lewis Jr. guy. Lewis Gossett Jr. Yeah, and I remember being at the time being like, what? It was even more fucked up than fucking Big Trouble in Little China. Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, but Big Trouble in Little China is a good movie, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just talking about, and it was also ludicrous. Big Trouble with Little China.
Yeah, but it was ludicrous in a good way.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Firewalker was not trying to be ludicrous. It was just ludicrous accidentally.
That's how I remember
it. Which kind of makes it so bad it's good. But like I said,
it.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
I haven't seen it in a long, long time.
I just remember it being like completely,
I was like, what?
Yeah. Completely stupid. Yeah. And that I couldn't believe how stupid it was.
Yeah, it was something.
But so one thing I didn't know, because remember, I think when we talked about the 2017 Mummy movie, which like I said, you like it and I didn't like it. But I didn't realize that, you know, the whole Universal and they were trying to do the Dark Universe kind of thing, that was like the reboot. What I didn't realize I didn't realize the extent of it. They'd actually been trying to get that shit off the ground since 1987. And remember how I said that it's like, I really would have liked it if they'd gone in a more overtly horror direction. That's exactly what they were trying to do in the 80s. The first thing they did, they said, okay, we want to do a remake, which the Brendan Fraser Mummy movie is a loose remake of the 1932, it's 1932, right? 1932 Mummy with Boris Karloff. It's a similar story. They changed it some, but it's kind of a loose remake. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to do that, and it was going to be like a whole remake and all the Universal Monster things. But they were going to be more overtly horror movies. In 1987, they pitched the idea to George Romero. And George Romero actually, like, kind of wrote a screen treatment and shit like that. And it was actually supposed to be, like, low budget, like $10 million. And then, so, like, George Romero was involved for a while, and then that didn't go anywhere. Then they gave it to Clive Barker. So, like I said, they're going in a more horror direction. Clive Barker, because he's Clive Barker, wrote something that was weird as shit, and they were like, yeah, we can't do that, with a bunch of, like, sex and shit in it. And they're like, no. I don't know why they asked Clive Barker, because you know he's going to Clive Barker it up.
It's going to be perverse.
Yeah, because that's his bag, man. That's what he does. And they also had Joe Dante involved for a while, and John Sayles was in there. So they had, like, all these, Mick Garris, I think, took a stab at it. So they had, like, all of these horror guys, and they were kind of trying to go, like I said, in a more low-budget horror direction. And then it just kind of, like, went, you know, I think George Romero got back involved in, like, 94 or something like that, and he was going to do it something more like a zombie movie, but they were still trying to, like, keep the budget low. But then finally, they get to a point where they're like, okay, maybe we'll do it more like an adventure movie. And then finally they were like, okay, let's do, like, a big budget kind of thing with it. Not a huge, but I think it was $80 million this cost to make. And it's weird because I kind of feel like when it came out, they didn't think it was going to do that well. It was actually supposed to come out, like, right around the same time as Star Wars The Phantom Menace. And they're like, okay, yeah, we can't do that because we'll get fucking creamed. So they actually, like, pushed the, they released it a little bit earlier than they were going to. And it was, like, a huge success. It ended up making, like, $400-something million. So, which is why there were a couple sequels. There was a spinoff, like Scorpion King, and I think they even did a cartoon show and shit like that. So, I think this was absolutely the right tone to take at the time. The guy that directed this, Steven Summers, he directed this one and he directed the second one, but I don't think he did the third one. He also directed Van Helsing, which I didn't love. That came out after this. And he also did G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, which I haven't seen.
I heard it was good.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews of it.
I think a lot of G.I. Joe fans from the old cartoons liked it.
I'll get around to seeing it one of these days. I should note, too, that he also directed the 1998 film Deep Rising, which I reviewed not too long ago, like last month, I think, on my Monster March. Yeah, because it's like just a fun action monster movie. So I feel like that movie had kind of the same tone as this one, where that one was set in the present day and everything like that, but it was like a monster movie, but just like big, dumb, fun, you know, with some comedic relief and then big monsters like eating people, you know what I mean? So they kind of went that direction. It's weird because I kind of feel like most of the original scripts, I guess because they were trying to keep the budget low, they didn't want to make it a period piece. They wanted it set in contemporary times, so it's like, so it would have something to do with like, you know, reincarnation or some shit like that. So it was usually like based around a museum and they had a sarcophagus there and then, you know, somebody wakes the mummy up and chaos ensues. But once they decided to go in a more big budget direction, then they said, okay, we'll make it a period piece. So they set it in the 1920s, you know, right around the time that in real life, Howard Carter was finding King Tut's tomb and all that kind of stuff. So I think that was like kind of a cool thing to do. You were asking last night while we were watching it, did they shoot this in Egypt? No, it's like Morocco.
Morocco, okay.
It's Morocco.
I lived in Egypt for almost a year, so I was like, that kind of looks like Egypt, but it's not rocky enough.
I mean, it's close.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all the shit in the desert, that is the actual Sahara Desert. They did shoot it there. Yeah. But the scenes that are supposed to be Cairo are actually Marrakesh.
Yeah, okay. So I was in Sinai, which is that leads out into Cairo, and it's most of it looks like fucking Mars. I got pictures of it. It looks like Mars.
I was kind of thinking that when we were watching it, because every time I see anything like that with like Egypt or the desert or that part of the world, it does kind of look like Mars.
Rocks everywhere.
I actually kind of thought of that when we were watching the movie last night too, even though that's Morocco and not Egypt. Yeah. But like I said, same part of the world. Same part of the world. But yeah, so also Arnold Vosloo plays Imhotep. And he was just in the two Darkman sequels that we talked about just the other day.
He did a good job. He was epic in this.
I mean, it's weird.
Didn't say much.
Yeah, he's not in it a lot because most of the mummy action is him being all fucked up looking CG. And CG.
Yeah.
But he did do all the motion capture. So, like, all, you know, they put him in the suit. It wasn't a stuntman.
His face is in it.
Yeah, they put him in the suit and he kind of, like, wandered around and
shit. His girlfriend was smoking. Before she got killed and turned into a mummy.
Well, the whole plan was that way a long time ago in the City of the Dead, I mean, him and her, like, they conspired and they killed the Pharaoh because they were fucking around, right?
Yeah.
And then she's like, hey, I got a plan. I'll kill myself and then we'll go to the City of the Dead and you resurrect me and then everything will be fine. But, that's not how that
worked
out.
They knew
how
to make movies back then. They got every guy's attention in that fucking, early on, they just show that girl walking through there in that fucking gauzy-ass fucking Egyptian queen outfit. Just fucking titty and ass, tits and ass. Yeah, okay, all right. This movie's going to be all right. I'm in. You only see a few seconds, but then the movie just keeps getting better and better and better. More action. So, they knew back in the day, they knew how to make a tentpole movie. Every dude fucking, okay, eyes on the screen, boys. Okay, right, we're ready.
That's all you have to show.
Us a movie.
So what Tom is saying is that every, like, note to filmmakers from now on, every movie should just start with, like, a shot of tits.
Yeah, tits and ass.
And then everyone, and then it doesn't even matter what the movie is about.
Well,
they'll just watch the
attention.
Rest of it.
You're going to be paying attention.
Dudes are simple creatures. But yeah,
being honest.
I mean, yeah,
just
okay.
Being honest.
But
I mean, you have to draw the men in early. It's either fucking like something out of Mad Max Fury Road where there's just instant fucking suspense and action, or it's sex, one of the two. It's got to be something that'll immediately get your attention. And they kind of did a little bit of both with this one. The psychology and they understood human psychology through this whole movie. It had a real good pace to it. They didn't have any slow spots.
It didn't really. It just kind of went from thing to thing. And like I said, it was funny, but it wasn't like overly zany.
It had romance in it, but it wasn't so sappy to throw the guys out of it.
Yeah.
The romance was superficial and fun and light, and they just showed cute librarian girl.
And she was a real likable character. I like that she... Everybody in this was likable. Yeah. Even though a lot of the characters were, like, kind of terrible and, like, selfish and stuff. Yeah. But they were still kind of lovable despite themselves.
It doesn't wallow in any one emotion for very long. It just gets the point across and then moves on. And that's kind of a pacing I noticed that the average guy likes. I like that pacing. Don't get bogged down in any of these emotions. Just tell me what it is. Okay, that's it. On to the next one. Okay, that's what it is. All right, let's go. Oh, that happened. Oh, that was great. Oh, and then this happened. And then that happened. Oh, fuck, you made it. You made it. Okay, look. Oh, shit. It's just constant, like a ride. It's one of those on a ride movies.
Yeah, it's kind of something like where the stakes just keep getting higher and higher. You know what I mean? It's like first you kind of have these two rival groups of archaeologists. Yeah. You know, you have Brendan Fraser's character and the librarian and the brother, and they're kind of trying to go and find this city of the dead. What is it called? Hamunaptra. So they're going, and then there's a bunch of like kind of raucous like cowboy Americans, and on the other side, and they're trying to get there. So the first part of it is like them seeing who can get there first, like it's a competition. And then when they get there, then they have to like contend with the Magi, who are like, where the guards were guarding the tomb because there's some bad shit going on here, and you don't want to like release the fucking curse or whatever. They're just like, whatever, don't want to hear it. We're just like looking for treasure.
My only part of it, my only problem I had problem with this is I like the Magi, but they made the Magi Muslims. Magi are fucking Zoroastrians, far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, but the thing about it is that maybe, like, most people probably don't know what a Zoroastrian is. So I think maybe they just wanted to stick with something that more people knew what it was.
Generic, right?
Interestingly, the guy that played the head Magi, what was the character's name? I think was Ardeth Bay.
Yeah.
The guy that played him, he was supposed, because you know how he had those, like, tattoos on his face?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be in the script. He was supposed to have tattoos all over his body.
Yeah.
But I think the director or the producers thought that dude was too good looking, and they didn't want to cover him entirely with ink.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive looking guy. He looks real cool.
He's pretty hot.
He's all in his black fucking kind of desert warrior robes and shit. These tattoos look like Mark of Cain or something, you know, on his head. And, like, something out of the Bible. Guns. He had a damn, a fucking Lewis gun. He took off the back of a fucking downed biplane. He was out there fucking shooting those mummies up. Lewis gun's got a, you know, you guys wouldn't understand what it is. It's a machine gun. Big old fucking round.
None of us would understand.
It's just a badass old World War I gun. Lewis gun.
But, yeah, so it's like, then they have to contend with them. They're like, hey, don't fuck around. Or, you know, fuck around and find out, whatever. And then it so happens that they find the Book of the Dead, and then they find all the, you know, the jars that have all of Imhotep's guts in it, and they accidentally read from the Black Book. Well, you know, they don't really believe in the curse. So they do that, and then obviously Imhotep comes back from the dead, and he starts going after every single one of the people that took one of the jars that had some of his guts in it, and also he takes some of their stuff as well. Like, the first guy, he takes his eyes and his tongue. I mean, I have to say, you know, I hadn't seen this in a long time. For a PG-13... this kind of harkened back to, like I said, sort of like Temple of Doom type shit, where it's like a PG-13 family movie, but there's some pretty gory shit happens in this.
They're pushing the boundaries.
They really are. Like, you know, like I said, a dude gets, like, people get their tongues cut out, like, their eyes poked out. One dude gets, you get to see him, like, eaten alive by scarab beetles.
Yeah.
So, so some kind of fucked up shit happens in this. I mean, it, like I said, it's sort of like a video game. It's not like a torture porn or anything like that. It's fantasy. But I was actually surprised at how many people get fucking killed in this movie for something that's kind of like I said, ostensibly a family movie. Slasher Fred said there was a movie in the 90s called Encino Man. Yeah, I remember that. Where Fraser played a caveman frozen in ice. Yeah. In fact, I think that Encino Man was the first time that I saw Brendan Fraser in a movie. Fun fact, I was over in the UK in the 90s, and I was in a video store, and I noticed that Encino Man over there is just called California Man, because nobody knows where the fuck
Encino is.
Well, they don't know where Encino is. So it's kind of like they just changed it to California Man, which is fine. Adriana C. says, Clive Barker depraved sex mummy. Would have loved to seen that. Honestly, I'm really curious to see what Clive Barker would have done with it. It would have been strange and possibly wonderful. Although Clive Barker's, all of his books and stories are amazing. Movie adaptations are kind of hit or miss of his stuff because he's so imaginative that it's really hard to translate his vision in a way that's not fucked up. You know what I mean?
This one, I'll go with this version.
I mean, but yeah,
this,
I mean,
is a temp, classic tentpole movie, classic big action flick, fun for the whole family. You know, that it's just kind of a universal movie that you can show to anyone. They tend to make good money, so this probably did real well.
Yeah, I said it made over $400 million.
Yeah, which is actually nothing nowadays, but...
But it only costs $80 million to make.
Yeah, nowadays they want to make a billion and shit. Yeah, those fucking greedy bastards.
Yeah, but I mean, in 1999, this was like a big deal. And it's just funny because I feel like when they were first doing the sort of... You know how they show like test audiences the original stuff? The executives didn't think it was going to do that well because... A lot of audiences in 1999 associated the title The Mummy with, like, creaky old horror movies, and they just thought it was going to be dumb. But to their credit, the executives were like, no, we're keeping the title, because this is technically a remake of that movie, even though they've changed a lot, obviously. But I guess whatever the test audiences were smoking, that wasn't, because this actually ended up doing really well. And honestly, it did. I think it was number one for, like, several weeks until Phantom Menace came out and sort of, like, knocked it to number two. But, you know, it actually did really well. And like I said, it's easy to see why. This is a real crowd-pleasing movie. It's just, it's like a popcorn flick. It's super fun. It's just, like, a big, dumb adventure. You don't really have to, like, concentrate on it too hard. I mean, it's better if you concentrate on it, but it has these amazing big sets. There's monsters. There's gunfights. There's humor. There's, like, kind of some... There's, like you said, a little bit of romance, but not too much where you're like, oh, barf.
Yeah.
You know, because I do that, too.
Right. You know, don't wallow in the shit.
Right.
We know y'all like each other. Okay, move on.
Yeah, it moves along at a good clip. Right. And like I said, the stakes keep getting higher and higher because as Imhotep, like, starts getting his body back, as he starts to kind of be fully resurrected, he's bringing down, like, the plagues of Egypt, which is kind of a big fucking deal. And if he gets, you know, his whole thing and he resurrects his love, then he's going to, like, fuck up the whole entire planet. So there's really, like, a high stakes sort of thing where... You know, they really have to, like, stop this supernatural creature, and they don't really know how to do it other than, like, shooting at it, because what the fuck else are you gonna do, right? So I really like that. I also really liked the character that Rachel Weisz plays in this, you know, the librarian. Because I like that they made her kind of, like, she's kind of, like, goofy and klutzy, but she's really, really smart. And honestly, like, her... knowledge is kind of what saves everybody's butts. Even though I think it's funny how the archaeologist, the head archaeologist on the opposite, like, the American team, he's kind of like, why are they listening to a woman? Like, she doesn't know anything. Yeah. And basically, like, she had read all the shit, so she knew exactly, like, how to fucking open the tomb up and shit like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw this, probably back in the early 2000s sometime, or mid-2000s. I think somebody loaned it to me, and I remembered, like, really, really liking it, and it was just, like, really, really fun, like, watching it again. Now, like I said, we have all three, so I guess you want to, like, watch the whole trilogy? You liked it enough to, like, watch?
Yeah.
I've heard that the other two are not as good, obviously,
that's
like, the first ones, but that's always the case, so we'll kind of see how it goes with that, but I'm glad you finally got to see it, because it just... I don't know why. I thought of it because we had watched the Darkman movies, and that had Arnold Vosloo in it. And I was like, oh, yeah, he was Imhotep in The Mummy. And then I was like, oh, Tom would probably really dig that. And then when you said you hadn't seen it, I was kind of like, oh, well, probably we should get
that. I saw the Tom Cruise Mummy, and I liked it. Everybody laughed at me.
Because it's a bad movie. And it's not even bad in, like, a fun way. It's just bad in a, oh, my God, please kill me
way. It just had all those damn monsters in it, man. I liked it. Like Mr. Hyde in it.
That was the only thing that I liked about that one. That was the only thing
Dr.
I liked.
Dr. Jekyll be talking, and all of a sudden he starts flipping to Mr. Hyde, and I'm going right along with him. I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you on that, bro.
I'm like, yeah, bro, are you okay? Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Dude, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Because he was a lot like you, actually.
Yes, I know exactly. Yeah. There's times when I fucking injected some stuff myself and I get just like that. Like,
yeah.
Testosterone will do that to him.
Well, I've told you, it's like that character is kind of like your, that or the classic, the one scene in The Shining where Jack Torrance is going down toward the gold room. I was like, oh my God, it's you. Yeah. Stanley Kubrick knows exactly.
Yeah. Gotta catch me at the right time.
He's not like that all the time. But sometimes he is like that. But yeah, so, well...
I knew where I first saw this. Before I ever saw that, I was watching a nature program.
Yeah.
Where they were doing a program on wolverines, and they were fucking...
Oh, yeah, okay.
They were doing...
That's your spirit animal?
Telegraphic or telephoto lens on a wolverine walking around, looking at the trees, going... He was just mad. They said that, you know, well, that the males get that way at certain times of the... breeding cycle
of the month.
Yeah. And they just attack fucking random tree bark and shit. And
then fuck this.
Yeah. And I'm going like, I hear you, man. Yeah. Fucking right. Get that tree. You know? I was like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Although, yeah. I have to say, like, even though Pookie is a girl, but she does that sometimes too. Like, if you do stuff that she doesn't like, she kind of walks around and goes,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like if she's mad.
Yeah.
If you won't let her do something she wants.
Right.
So I guess it's just like kind of an animal thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I think the difference between the Tom Cruise one, the thing about the Tom Cruise one, I don't even fucking remember what the hell happened in that story. What the fuck even happened in it? I don't even remember.
Hugo said he liked the Tom Cruise one too.
I know some people did.
It was a different game on it. It was kind of reminded me of a slightly better, more complete version of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like that. They were bringing all the damn Universal monsters together into one movie, and I guess they were going to make several of them, but it just didn't work out.
Because they were kind of trying. They were trying to do a Marvel extended universe thing,
like the MCU.
Which felt a little shoehorned.
Yeah.
And I just kind of felt like, I was like, if you're going to make a mummy movie, make a mummy movie. Like, you can put some of that other shit in there if you want to. But I just felt like there wasn't enough concentration on that.
Well,
and then
jam so much stuff into one movie.
So a lot of it was just like a slog. And I was just like, this doesn't even have anything to do with mummy shit. And it's like, I don't know why this is even in here.
In that one, the mummy was a cute goth girl.
Yeah. Which is cool, but it's like...
She looked really good.
She did. I liked the look of it. I just didn't like... I wanted it to be either more horror-y or more like this one. More like adventure-y and fun with a real like ancient Egypt kind of vibe to it.
Don't ask you why Tom Cruise was in it.
A little miscasting.
I don't know why he was in it.
I don't know either.
He was supposed to be kind of like... He wasn't a commando, was he? He was a part of some kind of a international...
I mean, it wouldn't shock
group.
Me if he was... Because he always has to be some kind like of, like, super secret agent, spy, something.
Yeah, and he's...
He and can't he just be, like, a regular
just be
dude.
Like regular dude. You know, it didn't really make sense.
That's what I liked about this one, because Brendan Fraser was just, like, a regular dude. He was kind of like a thief, kind of a little bit of a scoundrel, like a Han Solo-type character.
Yeah, Tom Cruise mummy movie would have made a lot more sense if he was just an Indiana Jones-type guy.
Yeah.
If he was
a
mercenary
little,
or...
Yeah, it was like somebody that's a little, like, morally gray, but still, like, kind of likable,
kinda
you
like
know?
Kind of like Tomb Raider.
Right.
Like a male version of Tomb.
I think Brendan Fraser did such a good job in this because he's kind of like I said, he's a little bit of a scoundrel. Like, he steals shit. He's, like, kind of getting in trouble. He's a little bit of a lunkhead. But you still like him, though. He's still, like, really lovable because he's still, like, deep down, he's a good guy. You know what I mean?
You know, I'm going to see Commandos beyond the age of 35, people. Been there.
That's what I mean. I kind of think that while I'm, you know, the 2017 one could have been a good move, but maybe Tom Cruise's ego kind of got in the way of the production.
He wants to be 35 forever.
Yeah, and like I said, he always has to be like some big badass and shit like that. Yeah. And I really don't think... I do kind of remember that there was maybe some sort of attempts at humor in that one, but it just didn't work because I kind of felt like it was trying to take itself too seriously, and it was trying to be like a big action movie, like a Marvel movie, instead of just letting it be its own thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, either be like a mummy horror movie or be like this one, be like an adventure mummy movie.
Yeah.
With scary shit, like skeleton with swords and shit.
When you're dealing with Tom Cruise's age bracket, you can go mercenary 40 and 50s in some of those movies. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and his mercenary crew from Predator 1. I think Arnold was either 41 or 42 at the time. And he was looking great. He looked great. Most of those guys were in 40s, early 40s, 30, or late 30s, around that. But when you start talking about Steven Seagal, okay, mercenary in his fucking late 60s and fucking 300-something pounds, needs a fucking body double to walk up and down stairs, you're not fooling anybody.
You are not.
Those guys aren't around. They're in other lines of work at those ages, you know? And then fucking that one, Mercenary for Justice, fucking...
Or whatever the fuck.
Mercenary.
They're all called that.
You had the guy who was... He was a real admiral or general for a while there. He was in Under Siege. He shows up in it and to play the role of a general. And he's like fucking in his 80s. You're not going to see that either. 80-year-old generals in the fucking field. Just, no. There's a limit to all that. It's a young man's game.
I didn't know this, actually, but Adriana just said Rachel Weisz, who was in this movie, playing the love interest, she's actually married to Daniel Craig in real life.
Oh, really?
Well, there you go. Hugo also said the only good movie like in this whole like Universal reboot kind of thing was Dracula Untold. I agree with that. I really liked that as well. I liked that as well. Because they went in a more, like, it was kind of action-y and shit, but it went, like, in a more horror-y type of direction.
Well, I want to see that again.
Because it was about, like, Vlad the Impaler. We have it, don't we?
Yeah, I got it on Blu-ray.
Didn't I think, I thought Sophie sent it.
I liked Mummy, too. I don't give a shit. I liked Mummy. It was all right. It wasn't as good. It was different than Dracula Untold. I have a couple of other ones from that series that are okay. I just don't remember what the other ones were.
Well, it didn't really go anywhere. I mean, like I said, they... Because the 2017 one was, like, so poorly received, not only by critics, but people didn't, like, go see it either. I don't know. Like I said,
there's only going to be one MCU. It's hard.
Just trying to do the same thing with that, you're trying to, like, you know, cram, like, a square peg into a round hole. They're two completely different things. I don't think it's a crazy idea to do an extended universe with the monsters. But
not at this time.
I think it's better if you're going to do that, if you're going to remake the Universal Monster movies, fine, but you can maybe make them loosely connected, but don't try to cram them all into the same time period or the same, because the stories are like so wildly different.
Yeah, and there's something about the Universal movies, they were black and white.
Yeah.
And
it was like
you
so
can't get that fucking if they
it was
were
so creepy.
If they were huge, widescreen, epic HD black and white movies with some badass fucking CG, but they're like sepia tone, but it's like you're looking at an old movie from the 30s.
See,
but
I would
like
watch that.
But it's like a movie they could never fucking make with creepy shit, and it's almost like a 30s style acting and stuff. It'd probably go over a lot better.
Actually, I want to see that.
I would do it.
I would totally watch that.
Huge.
I know maybe a lot of people wouldn't, but I would be completely on board with that.
It would
that.
Look like a movie that they could only dream of in the 30s.
Well, I mean, for kind of an analog to that, look at what do they call the H.P. Lovecraft Appreciation Society or whatever?
Yeah.
And you know how, I think that's what they're called, but they make their own like kind of low budget adaptations, and they make them look like the movies look like they came out back when the story came out, like from the 1920s.
Yeah.
And they're really cool.
Call of Cthulhu was like King Kong, claymation.
Yeah, like they did one like that, and then they did, what was the other one that they did that we saw? I can't remember what it was. But yeah, they did it kind of like old. But I just kind of feel like if you're going to, the Universal Monster movies, I felt like if they were going to remake them, I'm kind of glad that this one, the 1999 Mummy, just went in a more like action Indiana Jones type of direction and just made it, like I said, it still had monsters and scary shit, but they went like whole hog with the mystical adventure type shit. I think that was a good direction. Because if you're going to go like in a horror direction, like you said, I think that they should go more like the old ones, in tone. Don't try to do like the 2017 Mummy movie where you're trying to make it like a big action movie, like a superhero movie, because it's just not the same thing.
They would look black and white and real fucking scary and look like funeral art. and I would have it like animated, kind of like 300.
Yeah,
300 was.
Yeah,
those back, but they would look like just gothic horror.
That would be fucking rad.
Yeah, like that.
That would be fucking rad.
And then when you see,
I would love that.
When you see Frankenstein, it's Boris Karloff's Frankenstein. It's that, just worse. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And he does more stuff. The creature in Black Lagoon would be look just like the original, but it would be like a real living creature. But it would look like it was kind of much better, like it was made in the 30s, but much better than they could make in the 30s, like 300.
Yeah, because nowadays, I mean, back then, like I said, they, you know, everything was sort more stagey. They didn't really have, you know, they didn't like have a lot of the same budget or the same technology that we have nowadays. So you could do it like that, but you could kind of like, amp it up some.
Imagine if you did the Black Cat. And you had another 20 minutes in there, and there was necrophilia and all those fucking bodies down
See,
there.
See, I would watch that.
And then weird shit of what he was trying to do with Karen and stuff, and weird, because there was some stuff that was got to be caught, it had to be cut out.
Yeah.
And then the stuff with the actual cat. Wasn't that supposed to be a spirit or a soul of one of the women in the Black Cat? They said it was cut out, right?
It was something like that, or it was kind of like,
or it was the spirit of Satan or something. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I thought he was like a spirit familiar or something.
Yeah, I thought. See, you have to put all that in there because you now have the budget because it's animation.
Well, and now you can get away with putting all kind of like fucked up shit in movies. You couldn't back then.
And Herr Pelzig's fucking house could be even more epic.
Yeah, see, that'd be great. Somebody needs to fucking. I know. Well, that's the thing. They've done so many movie versions of the Black Cat, as in the Edgar Allan Poe story, but that movie, The Black Cat, with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi, that really didn't have fuck all to do with the Edgar Allan Poe story, but it's its own thing, but that's awesome.
Yeah.
So now, somebody needs to remake that.
Dracula Untold was close, from what I remember, but I would have done it in black and white, or maybe like blue and white, or sepia tone type, something that's just real, real, real creepy. And maybe there's color sometimes, like blood is red, that type of stuff. But the rest of it's black and white. Maybe certain things will be color, but it's basically a black and white movie to kind of.
So almost kind of like, you're talking about something almost like Sin City.
Almost like Sin City.
Where it was like a black and white, sometimes. But then they had sometimes there was color. Sometimes there was red or yellow, but it was kind of like similar a comic book.
Similar like Sin City.
Yeah.
You got it right. But I would take that old retro horror from the 30s, they take that fucking motif and just maximize that.
Yeah, goth the fuck out of it.
Yeah, right. That's what it would be like.
I think that would be really awesome.
That's how I would do it.
And honestly, if you did it right, and you did like a really good, compelling story and shit like that, I don't think there's any reason why a lot of people wouldn't go see that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's, if it was like creepy.
That's the way fucking Conan should be. Like Conan needs to be remade.
Yeah.
But you do it like 300. But it looks like Frank Frazetta.
Yeah, see, that would be super cool. Adriana says, was Boris Karloff the original mummy? Yeah.
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 And I've never seen the original. I've seen photographs.
It's good.
I've seen photographs, but I haven't seen that movie. We have to see it.
And I think I mentioned this before, but I think that I like Boris Karloff's mummy makeup better than the Frankenstein makeup. I think it's still Jack Pierce, I think, was still he's the one that did the Frankenstein makeup. I think he did the mummy makeup as well. I think it looks fantastic still. And that movie is like fucking almost 100 years old at this point, and that mummy makeup looks amazing.
Adriana, if you haven't seen The Black Cat with Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, see it. It's
we reviewed it a little while back.
It's in public domain. You can see it for free on YouTube.
Oh, and oh my gosh, Hugo says, I forgot about this one. Some of the attempts were Benicio del Toro's Wolfman. Yeah, I forgot about that. I remember, I think I saw that in the theater, and I remember thinking, I mean, I love Benicio del Toro anyway. I don't remember that much about it. I remember liking it at the time, but not loving it. But at some point, I'll have to, like, rewatch it and see. And another one was Werewolves, which was really bad. I don't think I saw that one, but I did see the Benicio del Toro Wolfman. But yeah, so they have tried to do them. It's just that I feel like if you're going to do them, like, decide ahead of time.
It has to be planned out.
And plan it out. Yeah. And have one person, like, or just a group of people work on all of them, and they have, like, a singular vision.
Yep.
That they're all going to look like this.
Yeah, that's how Star Wars was supposed to be done. And
yeah.
How everything is in MCU. The series has its own style. And all the movies have to interlock with each other, and they all have to have a similar tone, and they all have to be able to be compatible. You can't just do one at a time, piecemeal, and cobble it.
And then they don't have anything to do with one another. Like I said, I don't like that. I kind of want them to be all thematically. Yep. You can make them different stories, like just like series. They are, but make them all look thematically similar. Yep. You can do little different things depending on if it's Creature from the Black Lagoon or Dracula or whatever, but make them all kind of look like they're a set, you know? Oh, and yeah, I forgot about this one, too. Mr. 88 says there was a Robert De Niro Frankenstein. That's right.
I remember that.
And Kenneth Branagh played Dr. Frankenstein, right? I think I saw that in the theater also. I remember that one being not too bad. Yeah. And it was very, very close to the book, which you don't usually see. Because the Universal one from the original, I mean, that is kind of close to the book, but they cut a lot of the book out.
You could do a Bela Lugosi-style Dracula nowadays that would just blow the original away if you had the right actor, too. But I would do it that same way that I could just talk about it, like be an old black and white movie, but some color like Sim City. You got to have the right actor to fucking carry that role that Bela did. And then be a dude that looked like that. Because that was based on a stage play, that particular movie. And there wasn't much you could do with special effects. And a lot of stuff's cut out, you know, like him transforming into things and transforming into clouds of bats and wolves and everything, you know. You could do a lot more now.
Yeah.
A lot more. And you could put more female characters in there, like the like Mina and fucking her friend, you know, her friend
Lucy.
Lucy and all them, because that's not in the Bella's version of the movies. There is no two Dracula movies are the same. They're all different. There's a guy who did a whole video on them.
Yeah, it's James from Cinemassacre.
Right. Hell, none of them are the same. They're all just kind of
He was trying to determine which one was the closest to the actual novel.
Yeah.
And it was actually a tie between a BBC version from the 70s or 80s, I can't remember, and the Francis Ford Coppola one. Which is crazy because the Francis Ford Coppola one adds a bunch of shit that wasn't in the book, but all the stuff that's in there is, like, way more book accurate than most of the other ones. Because, like you said, the Bela Lugosi one, the Universal, that was based on a stage play, which was based on the book. So a lot of the stuff was kind of, like, cut out. And, yeah, Strawdog78 says, Francis Ford Coppola did Bram Stoker's Dracula right. All the effects were in camera. Yeah, if you're gonna do it like that. Like, make it... I like that he committed to, we're going to do the special effects in this movie like they would have done them back then.
Yeah.
And it looks great. But like with, they'd use some modern shit too, but because it's in color. But they used all the same techniques back then. And it's like, it looks amazing. And those special effects don't date because they're stylized, you know?
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to go to like do it that way, you could definitely do it that way. Adriana said, I watched The Black Cat with Karloff and Lugosi. Okay. I loved it.
Okay, yeah.
Their interaction and banter was amazing, plus their charisma and magnetism. Yeah, yeah, that's definitely...
All that badassery in one movie.
Honestly, I loved Boris Karloff in that. He was just like that smirk that he had, and it was just kind of like... So
and that fucking castle he built, that was the shit, too. It's a futuristic castle like something out of the Jetsons, but it's in the 1930s.
Yeah.
Sliding doors and intercoms and... radios, just look, a radio.
Yeah. Wow. Woo. Well, radio. It was a big deal back then. Yeah. But anyway, all right. So The Mummy from 1999, much more successful remake. Like I said, it's not really a horror movie. It's more like just a fun adventure movie, but has some horror elements, monsters and shit like that. And I think if you're going to go in that direction, they went whole hog, and I think it was really, really successful. Like I said, it's just like a fun fucking popcorn movie. Now, tonight, we're going to watch the second one, The Mummy Returns, because like I said, I got the whole trilogy, so we will talk about that one tomorrow, and then we'll watch the third one, and then we'll see how that goes. I don't have the spinoff, which was The Scorpion King with The Rock in it.
I remember that. It's a spinoff off this?
Yeah. I think it came out after. I think it came out in 2008, I want to say. Maybe earlier. I can't remember. 2004? I don't remember what it was. But, so that's like a spinoff from this series. But there were three, and then they did The Scorpion King. I think The Scorpion King might be a prequel to this, if I'm not mistaken. So we don't have that one, but I have the three, so we're going to talk about those. All right, so we will be back tomorrow evening talking about The Mummy Returns. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by. Have a good rest of your evening, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.